Thank you for calling. You're on the air.
Hi. I would like to ask Roy a question.
Okay.
Would you please define Christianity to me, your definition of Christianity?
Well, it's the ability to live by the revealed truth in one's own heart. The only way I can explain that is that, as I said a few moments ago to Walter, that what's wrong with people in the world is that they doubt themselves. And everybody in the world has the ability to express what is revealed to them privately in their own hearts. The trouble is we doubt that inherently. And the power of language, the power of scripture, the power of politics, the power of suggestion, whether it's right or wrong, has a way of pulling on us and making us not believe ourselves and recreating us in the way of the world, in conflict with ourself. So Christianity is the way where this problem of being seduced by language and by temptation and pressure of life is resolved, so that you go through life unscathed by temptation. You see?
Yeah, living. Not really what I was trying to get was what the word Christianity means.
It means to me, it means to be like Christ, to be like him, to be able to deal with stress and temptations and evils with great dignity, never falling prey to doubt, never falling prey to pressure, never dramatizing.
But why would God want us to be like Christ when he wants us to be like God?
No, well, because
if Christ isn't God.
Well, in other words, Christ was the example of a man, of God in man. You see, God living his life through man and his will through man. That's the example of the way we should be.
But we worship Christ.
Pardon? No, we're not supposed to worship Christ.
Well, then why is it in the New
Testament
that they
do? No, we're supposed to believe him. That's very important. We have to believe that he is the one who was sent. And that only can be happen to every seeking person. For every person seeking person, for the same reason they know that one and one makes two without someone telling them that it is.
No, I think we have to.
We know that
no,
is more also
to it than
true.
That. There's more to it. There's much more to it
there
than
there probably
that.
Is.
Because Christ specifically received worship, and when Thomas worshipped him, he said, "My Lord and my God," and Christ commended him for this, because thou hast seen, thou hast believed. Now, Christianity is not just a feeling or not just what Jesus is. Christianity is what Christ revealed and what the Scriptures reveal about God. That's why we have a conflict with the foundation with human understanding, is because you use the vocabulary and you talk about Christ and you say nice things about him, but when it comes right down to it, you don't believe that he was who he said he was.
No, just the same, that as I said, we have different in our views in that you intellectualize his words, and you teach it, and you expect people to follow like good little robots, verse and chapter, but never really experiencing the truth of it deeply.
No, that is a totally, as far as I'm concerned, a totally unrelated truth, no fact to it whatsoever. The truth is that a Christian who is born by the Spirit of God comes into the image of the Lord Jesus Christ and has the power from the Spirit of God to live an acceptable life.
All right, but you said yourself that you sin and you lust and you talk and you lie.
Because all mankind does.
You mean you freely admit on the radio program that you lie and cheat and lust?
I freely admit on the radio program what is a fact of Scripture, that all men transgress the law of God in one way or another.
In other words, you're justifying your behavior by all men.
No, on the basis of Scripture.
I know, but the Scripture says all men, and therefore you put yourself under the same heading. But the same token, you said that we have to live an acceptable life, and that is not an acceptable life.
No, wait a minute. I didn't say an acceptable life. What I said was that Christ transforms us and gives us the capacity to please him and to walk with him in the light.
But not if you lie, and not if you cheat, and not if you look upon a woman.
Everybody fails along the path.
There's a contradiction here, Walter.
No, the only contradiction that exists you're expecting perfection here, now, and that's not what the Scripture says.
The Scripture says, be therefore perfect.
No, it says, be complete. That's the meaning of the Greek word perfect. Be complete as your Father in heaven is.
Well, if you are complete as your Father in heaven
that's the ideal.
Well, but it says be, it's a command.
You are to aspire to that ideal.
But not if you can't get off the ground by giving up lust and giving up cheating and lying.
But
where are you going to depart from your imperfection?
But you are imperfect. You're a sinner.
No, I am becoming, as the Scripture says I must, quoting your words, by learning how it is that a man might have faith in God and strength like an armor and a shield to go out and meet the world and not respond to the stress, not respond
but
to the cruelty,
still sin.
Anger or hate. No, that's becoming perfect.
No, you
that's,
still
that's obedience.
Roy,
if God says don't hate you, if God says don't hate somebody.
Roy, let's be honest. You are a person who breaks the law of God, according to the scriptures.
No, Walter, you are.
In other words, I admit it.
Oh, well, I don't.
I know it. That's the difference. That's the difference between us.
I said I've been saved by that. I used to. No, I don't anymore.
No. Let's go to another call, gentlemen. Thank you for waiting. You're on the air with the Bible Answer Man.
Am I? Hello?
Yes.
Okay. I had a question basically for Walter Martin. Basically, first I want to say something to Mr. Roy Masters, and I believe that he's pretty accurate in some of what he's saying about not to rest our faith on words, the fallacy of that, because words and arguments are nothing. They've been going on through eternity to prove points and all. But still, I think that he is mistaken on some of his points. He doesn't know the scriptures quite well enough to talk about them. But my question first is for Mr. Martin. He made a statement earlier. He said that Jesus said, unless you believe that I am God Almighty, you will die in your sins. Jesus never said that. Jesus said that unless you believe that I am He. Isn't that right?
No, sir, it's not right. The Greek text says, "Prin Abraham genestai ego eimi." Before Abraham sprang to life, I am the eternal. Those were his own words.
I'm not talking about John 8:58. I'm talking about the other scripture where you said that Jesus said, "Unless you believe that I am He."
Jesus said, unless you believe that I am, the same words in Exodus chapter 3 and in John 8:58, you will die in your sins.
Okay, but how can you match now? You've matched Hebrew and you've matched Greek.
It's very easy because the Jews had a Greek translation of the Hebrew Bible, which was used by Christ and known as the Septuagint, and the words are identical in the Greek.
You know, you've forgotten one thing, though, Walter, because the reason why Jesus was put to death because he was supposed to have held himself as God, which he didn't.
And, now I'm going to stop
is,
you right
wait,
there.
Because remember Judaism was the cradle of Christianity. And it was from Judaism, that Christ rose to save man.
Hey, sir, Mr. Masters?
Yeah?
Okay, I want to make a comment.
Before you make a comment, let's punctuate this, okay? The whole teaching of the Christian church and of the New Testament and of the prophecies concerning Jesus of Nazareth taught that he was God in human flesh. Now, you may not choose to believe it, but don't say it isn't the text, because that's what the text says.
But, Walter, the most important thing about salvation is to see it for yourself. And if we are just merely take a word of a mortal who is capable of lying and cheating and lusting after the flesh as you are... I mean,
and you...
Not me.
Well, you're perfect.
Well, I've already discussed that point already, but we cannot simply take the word of language of a person. We have to see it for ourselves. It is only seeing it for ourselves that it becomes ours. It becomes life in us.
Okay.
It becomes faith.
Okay, thank you for your call. We've got to move along. One question I have for Dr. Martin. After a person becomes a Christian, accepts Christ, accepts his claims, and he does sin. Your point is that we all sin.
Yes.
How can we continue to sin but still be saved?
Well, in 1 John, it states, if we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another. The blood of Jesus Christ, his son, keeps on, the Greek tense is beautiful, keeps right on cleansing us from all sin.
In other words, we can go on sinning, and he keeps forgiving us, and go on sinning.
Let me finish. If we confess our sins.
Well, then we confess it, and we sin, and we confess
it. And then we repent.
It's not to drive anybody nuts.
No, it's what God says is the way we're supposed to live.
What you're doing, Walter, is justifying your sinful life. You're dressing up your sinful life in more poetic language and in...
What I'm saying is,
good are you on the radio? What good are you to the drug addict, to the person who lusts after the flesh and feels terribly guilty of it, if you yourself are not that example? What are you going to save people from?
Let's put it this way, okay? You're making it, or trying to make it, look as if because I'm a sinner, Automatically, that means that I can't tell anybody else what God says. I'm saying...
Let me finish.
I am saying that the Bible teaches we are all sinners, that we constantly need confession and repentance, and that as we progress through our lives, the Spirit of God will mold us in the image of the Lord Jesus. That's what I'm saying. Christians are not perfect. They are just forgiven and are given the strength to live for the Lord. What you do in the Foundation for Human Understanding and in your lectures and all your writings is to move sin away and put perfection in the front. You write out of Christian Science, write out of Religious Science, the whole idea. There's no such thing as imperfection and sin. Well, there is. And you're a sinner.
Whosoever committeth sin transgresseth also the law, for sin is the transgression of the law. And know ye that he was manifest to take away our sins, and in him there is no sin. Whoever abideth in him sinneth not. Whoever sinneth has not seen him and never known him. Little children, let no man deceive you, that he that doth righteousness is righteous, even as he is righteous. He that committeth sin is of the devil. For the devil sinneth from the very beginning, and for this purpose the Son of God was manifested, that he might destroy the works of the devil.
Well, keep going. It says, if we say we have no sin.
No.
Wait a minute. It says, if we say we have no sin, we are not telling the truth. You're not telling the truth.
I hate to say, but that's very plain.
It says...
You can do whatever you like with it.
I can Walter. Do... this is very easy to do with. The passage you read is from the King James Bible. If you read a modern translation, you would find out the tenses have been corrected, and it says practices sin, not just commits it, but as a way of life.
Every man that hath this hope in him purifieth himself, even he is pure.
Right.
In other words, if you go on practicing sin, you're not purifying yourself.
No, I don't.
You're corrupting.
I'm right with you. Practicing sin is one thing, committing sin is another.
Oh, I thought you were playing with words.
No, I'm not. Let me illustrate it for you.
If
I throw a brick through a window, I have broken the law.
I tell you much you'd
now,
must
let
do.
Me finish. If I throw a brick through the window, I would be committing a felony or something against the law.
Walter.
Now, let me finish now. I'll let you finish. Let me finish. Now, if I go around making the practice of throwing bricks through all the windows that are, then I'm practicing it. But doing it, repenting of it, and not doing it again...
Walter,
different.
One of the marks of a false Christian is that he can't read... Well, he can't read, he can't understand what the Bible is saying to him. And he justifies every wrong thing he does by certain passages which suit him.
But that's precisely what you do.
But this language...
That's my point.
But this language here is talking to you.
We have to break off here. Our guest on the broadcast is Roy Masters from the Foundation of Human Understanding. Dr. Martin... Let's continue with our discussion.
Well, I think what we ought to do is to look at some of the things which are puzzling me, and I'm sure a lot of our listeners, relative to some of Mr. Masters' writings, or Roy's writings.
Before you go any further, Walter, there's one thing I'd like to hurl at you, if you don't mind, okay? I want you... This is your own scripture, right? Or our scripture. It says here in John 3, verse 9, it says... Whosoever is born of God doth not commit sin.
The word is practice in the Greek.
Doth not. All right. Well, it says here. You know, I'm not too bright, so I just have to read what it says. For his seed remaineth in him, and he cannot sin, because he's born of God. And in the concordance underneath there, it says, this is one of the most misunderstood verses in the Bible. Do not try to understand it in the light of personal experience. Keep in mind that the above verse is speaking of a new nature, not the old nature, because the old nature is not born of God. The old nature is born of a fallen man, is depraved. You see, the new nature is born of God and is holy. It says, number one, the new nature does not commit sin because it's the product of the seed or sperm of God. The new nature cannot sin because the divine nature of God, and so on and so forth. And it's saying right there a contradiction. I mean, if you just take it mechanically, any jerk could see that this says what it means and means what it says. And if Bible doesn't mean what it says,
well,
taken literally, I don't know what we're going to do.
Well, all night long we've been quoting the Bible to you and you've been rejecting it literally, so I don't know why you've settled on this right now. But let me point
this
out.
Why not? I mean, why not? I just said, so you asked me if I sinned, and I said not, and you were very surprised.
Yeah, let me go on, okay? You're reading the notes anyhow in the Bible, not the text itself.
Well, I just read the text.
Now, I don't care about the notes because that's...
No, I read the text. Here's the text.
I understand the text.
Whosoever is born of God does not commit sin.
Practice sin.
All right, well, I don't.
As a habit.
I don't practice it at all.
Now, that's why
it doesn't.
Why,
no, you add the word habit. It says does not commit sin.
The Greek text says practice as a habit.
No, it says
yes. I read the text. You don't. It says that.
Oh dear. Well, then you've got something I don't have.
I do. a very great bit of information on biblical theology, which you're missing.
Well, I mean, isn't the Bible the inspired word of God?
I believe it is.
What's wrong with this one?
Nothing.
Well, then I'm reading it. If you say there's nothing wrong with it, whoever's born of God does not commit sin.
We're back on the same track.
It says you cannot sin.
No, it says practice sin as a dominating habit of life.
Oh, I don't know. It doesn't say that.
Well, no, it doesn't in the King
James. This is your Bible. This is your Bible, isn't it?
That's the King James.
But this is yours, isn't it?
Roy, you're playing word games, and the word games aren't going to get anywhere because the passage is not saying that you can be perfect. The Scripture is not saying that you will not commit sin.
Let me finish.
I'm facing the fact that we're all sinners. You don't want to admit it. But what's important to me, and that I want to get into, is some of the things
you
that
you
say.
You
want
to change the subject now?
No, I want to get back to the text.
Well, this is the text that says, whoever's born of God does not commit sin.
I have already commented.
I have with him, and he cannot sin.
I have already commented on that, and I also quoted the same passage to you in there, which says, if we say we have not sinned, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. You have said you don't sin. You are deceiving yourself. The truth is not in you.
You know what you're doing to do? He's trying to confuse me.
No, I could never do that.
You know, that's your darn right.
I think you know what you believe.
I know
that.
But, look, but you can confuse a lot of people, though.
I think what we
because they're
do,
very suggestible because you're the authority.
I think what we
and
have
you have
to
degrees
do,
and they have to believe you.
No, that's not the reason. It's
why should anybody believe you, Walter?
It's whether it's factual or truthful.
But why should anyone believe you?
Because I'm teaching what Christ taught.
But you're not very credible because you sin and you have lust and you lie and you cheat.
No, that is not. Listen, Roy, you're playing games with me and I don't want to play them. I know I'm a sinner saved by grace. That's what the Scripture teaches.
Saved from what?
From hell, which you don't believe in.
I do.
Oh, no, you don't. You don't believe in eternal punishment.
No, I don't believe I'm going there.
I
know you don't believe you're going there, but you are.
Well, now you just sent me to hell.
Well, I've sent you there.
That's not very loving, you know. You always talk about being loving and accepting.
I always speak the truth.
You sent me off to hell, okay? I didn't do that to you.
No.
No.
Because you have no
I pray
to.
For your salvation, because you need the Lord Jesus.
I don't need it. I already have it.
No, you don't have him. But listen to this. It's something important. Some of these are Jesus freaks, other fundamentalists, and some charismatic Christians. All are really hypnotized zombies. Christians such as these are very guilty human beings indeed, because in using Christ in their wrong way, a greater guilt accrues to them, along with a greater need to escape to post-hypnotically fondling melodies, crosses, verses, and chapters. Churchianity is the religion of escape into images and sounds, and not an embrace of reality as it should be. This quotes
isn't
like
that beautiful?
This. No, it isn't. I think that's devilish.
No, don't you
because
think it's a misuse of Christianity? Isn't it possible to misuse Christianity?
No, you say
is
something.
Is it not possible?
Now, you say something here that really bugs me, and I want you to comment on it.
All right.
Every wicked preacher who ever walked the earth preaches God's love for the fallen ego state, not from it. The devil's masterpiece of rhetoric is that Jesus loves you
as you are now.
Hang on a minute. If that's from the devil, you're calling Christ devilish.
Well, the person who represents that as Christ's message to the world is a liar.
But you,
now, listen.
That's why you're anti-Christian.
Listen, now, if you're a thief, okay?
Yeah.
Supposing you're a thief, and I loved you as you were, would that make you a better thief or a worse one?
No, this is not the problem.
Question you must answer,
no,
please.
No, I don't have to answer
you must,
that.
Well, if you don't answer my question, I can't go anywhere with you. If you're a thief or a prostitute, and I loved you as you are.
Right.
Will you become more of a prostitute or a thief or less of one?
If
I loved you for the way you were.
Not you, but I'm talking about God now. We're not talking about Roy Masters.
No.
We're talking about God.
But if God, the kind of God that loves you as you are, is not going to change you.
Uh-uh.
He's going to support you.
The kind of God that loves you as you are
yes.
is the God who sent his Son into the world to save you from your sins.
No, the kind of God that loves you are is the one that made you as you are, and he's the devil.
In other words, if
the
God...
The kind of God that loves you as you are, saves you from what? He rebukes you. See, the Bible tells you to rebuke your brother. See, to speak harshly to him concerning his sin, to awaken him so he may repent of it. And then he will love you in the changed way.
But your quotation here very clearly states that Jesus loves you is a satanic masterpiece.